From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. Blaine County has officially completed its first climate action plan, with county officials calling it a monumental endeavor. The plan is designed to enhance climate change mitigation and adaptation outcomes on a regional, broader level, with the goal of setting a course for sustainability in the future. So joining us today to talk more about this plan is Blaine County Sustainability Manager, Andrew Mentzer. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you this afternoon.
So Andrew, can we just start off with the basics? For folks who may not be familiar, what exactly is a climate action plan?
You bet. At a very high level, a climate action plan is a document that kind of provides us with a roadmap for how we address two fairly large features in this discussion, one being adaptation and the other being mitigation. And so our document, it kind of borrows from a few different structures, but it really provides a lay of the land for what our existing conditions are. And then it points towards actions and key performance indicators that will help us track our progress through our programming over the years as we chip away at lowering our greenhouse gas emissions reductions, among other many other factors and features.
Why was it important for Blaine County to decide to implement a climate action plan?
Yeah, that's a great question. A group of very committed and thoughtful and passionate citizens from Haley and Ketchum kind of got together a few years ago and said, we really need to do a little bit more in this space. Our valley has a tremendous exposure to wildfire and flood risk in particular. Mm-hmm. And so it became very apparent that we needed to identify some spaces where we could make some progress, both from a resiliency perspective and from, kind of lowering our overall impact and emissions as a community. And so there's a lot of political will that went behind that, a lot of strategy, and working with over 100 different folks on four different task forces, we were able to put together a plan that we think is going to make some meaningful change and solid impacts.
So, you talk about how your area is vulnerable to things like flooding and fire. Was there anything specific in the last few years that kind of, made county officials say, wait a minute, we don't want something like this to happen again, or we've seen what can happen in other areas and we don't want that to happen here?
Yeah, I think all of the above, honestly. If you look at the flooding that occurred in the Wood River Basin in 2017, that was pretty historic, and it was largely related to climate change. And then, we've had a lot of major fire events, including just over the hill from us right now, the Bench Lake fires, which are, being very thoughtfully managed by a lot of different partners in Custer County, as well as the Forest Service. But those kinds of things have a tremendous impact on our economy, on our community health, on our recreation tourism sector. Those are just a couple of examples. And if you look more globally, a great example, a sad example, but an important one would be, the fire that tore through the community of Paradise in Northern California a few years ago and killed over 80 people. And so we certainly don't want anything like that ever coming our way. So to the extent we can be prepared for those kinds of events, as well as thoughtfully, again, aligning our kind of local government action towards mitigating the features of climate change, that's us doing our part and doing right by our community.
One of your county commissioners said the debate over whether climate change is real is old news. And she goes on to say, the question we face today is what each community is going to do now. Talk a little bit more about that, would you? Because there is still debate raging politically as to whether or not climate change is real. And I think that you can argue all you need to do is see how hot it's going to be in the next couple of days to look outside and see, the impacts of fire all around us. And that every year is heating up, that we saw the hottest day on the planet ever this summer. So with all of that being said, what do you do now? Because can you even mitigate what we've already seen?
Yeah, that's a big question to unpack, but to kind of go with what our elected officials have indicated, we certainly do think we can make some headway Even though we're a small community, just 25,000 population in Blaine County, because if everyone sort of ignores their responsibility to do a little bit of something, then we're all kind of putting our heads in the sand, I think is kind of the tone that we're taking here. But we were also very thoughtful in our planning efforts to ensure that a lot of the solutions that we identified were driven by partnerships. There's a lot of stuff that the county government can't or shouldn't potentially do, and so we simply identified spaces where our municipal partners are doing work in their public works fleets, where some of our nonprofit partners are taking action as well. And at the end of the day, the broader thesis of what we're doing, it really points towards kind of an all hands approach. There was a tremendous amount of input from everything from national laboratory, folks across the country to engineers to farmers. To local high school students who weighed in on this document. And it really does reflect a common vision, that we think is well supported by the data and points our community in the best possible direction.
You mentioned within this plan is not just mitigating, but adaptation. And so through adaptation, does that mean, okay, here we are today, how do we adapt to this new normal, or what else does that entail, if that makes sense?
Yeah, for sure. So there's a I'll speak as a bureaucrat for a second, and then I'll get into
Okay.
sort of the tactical side of it. But adjacent to this document are Blaine County's comprehensive plan. Our municipal partners have their comprehensive plans as well. We also have an all hazard mitigation plan through that we workshop our county emergency services manager kind of oversees that side of things. And then we also work directly with state and federal government. So there's kind of this interjurisdictional reality that goes with the adaptation side of things. And some of that's wildfire management mitigation. Some of that is projects like the forest restoration projects going on right now on Bald Mountain in the Sun Valley Ketchum area to thin out some of the fuels that are existing up there for better resilience realities going forward. And so it's kind of a big topic to unpack the adaptation component, but at the end of the day, a lot of times these climate action plans are entirely facing towards mitigation. It's how do we reduce our gas emissions? But we thought it was really important and impactful to take a look at how we prepare our community for these fire and flood events in particular, but there's also elements of cybersecurity, grid resilience with our power structures, things like that that we've also accounted for.
And you, my understanding is that you had four key areas that you focused on in this climate action plan. And I'd kind of quickly like to maybe chat about each one. So can we start with land and water conservation and what that looks like?
You bet. Yeah. And we've actually included habitat in that one too. So the land, water, and habitat conservation topic area, we have a task force with about 24 people on it. We're actually meeting this afternoon to kind of define our work plan for fiscal year 2025. But that group is really focused on how do we address issues with both weeds, like noxious weeds. So our weed department is engaged on that front. Riparian restoration components. And so a lot of our nonprofit partners are working on, there's the Bigwood Atlas from a few years ago. We're potentially going to look towards an update on that that helps us identify both groundwater and surface water realities that we can have programming around for restoration to ensure stream flow is healthy and appropriate. And then also just addressing things like climate smart agriculture and ensuring that our agricultural community, especially in the southern part of Blaine County, have the resources they need for long-term resilience in these massive heat events. And so it's a really kind of all-encompassing, all-hands approach. It also includes things like how do we offer protective corridors for animals. It dovetails with our transportation initiatives to keep them off the roads. There's a whole package of things under that one that's pretty exciting.
Let's talk a little bit more then about this other area. You mentioned transportation and land use.
Sure. Yeah. Land use and transportation is it's a very big topic. We consider it to kind of stand on a three-legged stool. So transportation infrastructure, and that's how we coordinate and communicate between our partners with Idaho Transportation Department, our municipal road departments, and then county government to ensure that we have a common vision for our corridors. In Blaine County, as I think a lot of your listeners know, we have a fairly constrained transportation corridor north to south with Highway 75. And so we have to be very thoughtful about how we align those elements. Next to that, the next leg of the stool is our kind of transit and public modes of getting around. So we're very fortunate in Blaine County to have Mountain Rides Regional Transit Authority. They have a mostly electrified bus system, which is great, and it's free to the community. And so we really think that they provide a world-class service, but encouraging additional ridership there, and then aligning that with bike and ped infrastructure. So people being able to ride their bikes in the fair weather season or walk to work, things like that. Those are all things that we're trying to elevate concurrently. And then the
Got it.
last piece of that really falls with our partners in the land use space, ensuring that our land use patterns, our density realities, things like that are all done consistent with the prior two legs of the stool. So it's a huge topic area, but one where we're kind of collaborating across the region, and we have a lot of municipal support for those efforts.
And one of your other areas that you're focusing on is clean energy and green building.
You bet. Yeah, we've broken that one down. It's probably the most straightforward, but also the most complicated of the topic areas. It's really supply and demand at the end of the day. And so, how can we work with Idaho Power and kind of our regional partners and policy alliances to advance clean energy? So things like wind and solar are certainly part of that portfolio. We're working on potentially doing a microgrid project locally that would assure that if there are outages, that we have line of sight to some redundant power sources. And then just ensuring that the portfolio of power that we utilize locally is thoughtfully aligned with better climate outcomes. Two of Blaine County's biggest emitters are transportation and energy, and that by a pretty wide margin, north of 90%. And so these are areas where we can make potentially the biggest impact. And then on the green building side of it, with House Bill 287, House Bill 660 in the legislature the last couple of years have put some limitations on what local governments can do with regard to requiring energy efficiency standards at the household level or with new construction. But we're certainly taking those directives and working in more of a market-based solution approach. And aligning a lot of those efforts with the Inflation Reduction Act at the federal level. So we feel like there's still a lot of great opportunities to encourage energy efficiency at the local level.
And very quickly, could you tell us about the fourth one, solid waste and circular energy?
You bet. Yeah. So circularity broadly kind of speaks to how can we reduce our impact through consuming a little bit less. Those are household decisions that folks can consider. And then I also oversee the crew that runs Blaine County's Recycle Center. And so those are discussions, largely tactical discussions about how we up our diversion and recycling rates, working with our solid waste haulers, as well as our partners at Southern Idaho Solid Waste, south of Blaine County. And then also sort of more broadly, just working with local partners on how we reduce things like compost, that ends up in the landfill or woody debris or construction and demolition materials. Those are very big culprits for our overall impact. And so we're trying to reduce those through some local programming as well.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast, female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.